So as we finish up the third letter of John, there's a lot of commentators that speculate that Demetrius was one that Diotrephes was attacking. And we see between verses 12 through 15 here, some translations only have 14 verses, but we'll just keep going here. It's very probable that Diotrephes was running him down and trying to ruin his name and reputation. So John decides to close this small letter in the Bible, the smallest letter actually, by defending Demetrius. And those who are faithful, who've earned a good name for themselves in the church of God, should be defended and commended. So we should not ever let anyone verbally walk over a faithful man or woman of God. So look at this commendation of Demetrius in verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So this word received here is in the perfect tense. And this is just a good thing to know, good thing to realize, that for the same apostle who condemned one, condemns another. And that's the way the truth is. The truth works this way. A truth is going to be truth. And he's a Gentile. Demetrius is a Gentile who believes in Christ and then earned this good name, this great name for himself. So this receiving is, like I said, in a perfect tense. And what that means is that from the moment that Demetrius came to faith in Christ, he has a good name and he continues to maintain that name right to the present day. He had come to faith, he had developed in the faith, and now everyone who knew him knew of this good reputation as a faithful man of God. And a good reputation is important. Jesus had a good reputation at a very young age. We see that in Luke 2:52. When deacons were to be selected, men were to be chosen who had a good reputation. We see that in Acts 6, verse 3. And he also had a good testimony from the truth itself. The truth is the reference to the Word of God. And Demetrius' life had stacked up against the Word of God. He continually came up faithful. So it's one thing to have others say we're faithful, but it's another thing to have the Word of God testify that we're faithful. And then he also had a great testimony with the leaders, the apostle leaders here. The verb "we testify" when they're talking about him, it's also in the present tense, and that speaks of a continual action. And the apostles continually testified that Demetrius was a faithful man of God. So this is the conclusion that John comes up with. The Apostle John, this something here is that he's not willing to do. And we see this in verse 13. He said, "I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink." So it's not because he didn't have more to say. He still had other things he wanted to say, but he was not willing to write it with pen and ink. And there are reasons for that. It could be because of the cost of writing the writing material. It could be because of the difficulty of writing with these crude materials. And it could be the personal nature of things he wanted to say to Gaius, that he didn't want others to read. And I think about that when this day of email, to send things out, many times you're trusting, or a text, you're trusting that what is said is going to be communicated in a way that may not be what you want. And so I think it's always best, if you really have a serious conversation, to have it face to face. Obviously, the Word of God is different in the area of, like, the fact that it's inspired of God, that it can be trusted as it conveys what God wants us to know. But John is speaking personally here. So any of those three things are possible. But there is an underlying reason why John was not going to write anymore, and it's because the Holy Spirit had inspired the written message he wanted, and that was over. And so what he's wishing to do is this. He understands that Gaius is a faithful man of God, and this is the last person John mentions he wants to see before he dies. And here's what he wanted from Gaius. It's interesting what he wants from him. Look at verse 14. He says, "I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face." So he's wishing a few things for him. We see at the end here, my translation says, "Peace be to you," verse 15, "peace be to you, the friends greet you, greet the friends, every one of them." And so there's nowhere in Scripture that God promotes peace at any cost. These are friends of Gaius. These friends wanted to greet him, or John wanted Gaius to greet them by name. Not everyone was to be greeted, but friends of the Apostle John were to be greeted by name. And when you are serving God, when you're in the family of God, you're not lost in the shuffle. And if you are a faithful Gaius or Demetrius, you are known by God. If you're an arrogant Diotrephes, then you're known by God. And what I want is for God to know me as one that desires the truth, desires to be faithful. And so this book ends in a good way, naming names where it needs to be dealt with. And it's just another reminder that in the family of God, sometimes some difficult talk has to happen, but some great talks happen too.